It's great to be up here. I've been anticipating myself. Just as you guys know, I officially began here as pastor at CCC starting in September. And you know, this is the first time that I actually get to preach officially as a pastor here. And so I've just been praying and thinking about what it would be that I would preach on for my first kind of, I guess, someone was saying, I think Ray said, my debut, if you will. And, you know, I was praying and thinking about it. And what else is there to preach but the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen? That's something that you're going to have to get used to on Sundays. Every Sunday, whether it's from the Old Testament or the New, what you hear from me being preached is the Word of God, what He's preserved over the course of history, His perfect Word, and what a responsibility that is, but what a great privilege and grace of God for me to be able to speak, to be able to be called to be one who's in full-time ministry. You know, I've been doing a lot of reflection, and, you know, I'm still feeling a little bit like I'm transitioning in here, you know, after moving from New Jersey. And, you know, to be honest, I'm still kind of getting used to the East Coast, being a Midwest guy, growing up in Chicago and going to school in Illinois and in Missouri. But the thing that just continues to capture me, the thing that continues to grab a hold of me, is this awesome kind of understanding that I'm here called to preach and to be a pastor at CCC, not because of anything great that I have done or accomplished, not because I am a reverend ordained now, not because I have a Master of Divinity degree. I mean, even that Master of Divinity, how does that make sense? Can you master the divine, right? It's not anything that I have done, but truly the grace of God. And I'm so thankful that I get to do that here now with this family here at CCC. And I hope that we'll continue to grow together. I hope that we will learn to enjoy the Word of God. I hope that we'll share in life together, the ups and downs, the different things that we may go through. And I hope and pray that we'll go through it together with what we're going to talk about today, is what it means to have this new identity in Christ, as new creations in Him for those of us who repent and believe in Jesus, for those of us who have a relationship with Him. Now, there's a place in your bulletins, there's a little sheet that you can take notes on, and so I don't know if you like to take notes or not, but I would actually say it's a good practice to take notes so that you can kind of have something, maybe jot even one or two things down from the sermon that really speak to you. So that you can remember it later. And I believe that God can work through different sermon points and different things that you gather throughout the Word of God being preached, even much later after a sermon has been preached. So feel free to take notes, but that's what we're going to talk about together today. I want for us as a church to grow in the understanding of what it means that our identity as people of God, it has to be rooted in this idea and this reality that we are a new creation in Him. So we're going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. And that also you can find in the insert where you can take notes on. That passage is there. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, or the ESV. And this is the Word of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let us pray together before we get into this text. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. I thank you for every person who's here, whether we are visitors, first time joining in worship here at CCC, whether we've been here for generations, for many years. God, you know the hearts of every person in this sanctuary, in this room. And you know all the deep longings and the worries and the anxieties and the circumstances of our lives. And you call us today on this Lord's Day to gather together as a family in Christ to worship you. And so may we worship you even now as we listen to the word of God being preached. God, would you humble all of us here, myself included, as I speak your word. Through your Holy Spirit, would you speak loudly the message that you want to share with all of us here today. So be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. I remember seeing a movie a long while back called Friday Night Lights. Now, I believe this is a movie that actually was out there before the really popular TV series came out. And the one thing that I remembered about this movie, Friday Night Lights, is it's basically about kids in Texas playing football. Okay, and this is high school football. And I remember very distinctly there was this one character, and he was the star athlete on his team. He was unstoppable. He could jump over the rest of the team, the opponents, and score touchdowns at will. He had all the moves. He had the perfect physicality. He knew the game well. He was instinctive in how he moved and everything that he did. And so this guy, everyone knew he was going to go pro someday. There were scouts from the NFL already looking at this guy while he was in high school. There were colleges ready to hand out scholarships, watering at the mouth at the prospect of having this player on their team. This guy, he knew he was good. He was flashy. He was the big man on high school campus, if you will. And everyone knew this guy is going to make it. Being the best football player, it's what defined him. It's what he knew of himself and what other people spoke of him. So, see, for him, it became his identity. You see, he believed that it was what gave him his worth, how he performed on the football field on those Friday nights, under those Friday night lights. That is what defined who this young man was. It's what motivated him. It's what drove him, what his purpose was. And then, late into the season, almost on one of the final games, it happened. He took a hit to the knee, and he went down. Now, the next scene that it cuts to is really a heartbreaking scene. Because, you see, he doesn't know yet what the doctor is about to tell him. And he's sitting there, and his father is with him, and the doctor comes in, and he has a concerned look on his face. And this young man just simply says, "Doc, tell me how long it's going to take. I'm willing to do anything it takes to get back on the field. Just tell me how much time, whatever rehab I need to do." And the doctor looks at this young man and says to him, "Son, I'm sorry, but you're never going to play football again." And what's the reaction of this young man? His identity that had been so wrapped up in him being the best football player on the field, being the most athletic guy, the unstoppable guy on the football field. What others said of him was he's going to be the one who makes it because he's going to go pro. And so everything about who he was wrapped up in being the best football player. And in one instant, it was taken from him with those words from that doctor. And so he's crying. He's holding on to his father. "Football is all I know. What am I going to do now? Football is all I know. What am I going to do now?" Now, it's a pretty dramatic scene, but I think all of us can relate in a very real way. All of us have something in our lives that we identify with so strongly That if something were to happen to alter that identity or to affect that identity in a negative way, we too might feel like this young man did. That it's the end of the world. What am I going to do now? It's what we believe defines us. Maybe for some of us here, it's academic success. Maybe it's popularity, what others think of us. Maybe it's worldly success, financial achievement, financial security, how much money you have in your IRA, how much you have saved or invested for your retirement, for your family. Maybe it's how other people perceive you. What is it that defines you? Where do you find your identity? What I want to share today is from the passage that we read together. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church to encourage them and remind them that their identity ought not to be found in the things of this world. That their identity ought not to be bound up in things that can pass away. But in fact, that God gives to us an opportunity by becoming in us, by making us to be a new creation in Him. This is what God teaches through Paul's letter. For those of us who have embraced the grace of Christ, those of us who have been saved by His grace through faith, we now can have a new identity in Him. And we're going to talk about that new identity together today. And there's two things that I'm going to talk about to remember about our new identity in Christ. First thing is very simple, and it comes from this passage. First point is this: you are a new creation. You are a new creation. Can everyone just say with me, I am a new creation. I am a new creation. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Look what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, what you need to see here is that Jesus, God, is not telling us through the apostle that we are now an improved but still old creation. You know, some people look at Christianity in such a way where it's just about becoming a better person. In fact, there's statistics that say that even people who go away from the church, when they have children, they start thinking about coming back to church. And you know why that is? They want their children to grow up being good people. And they believe that Christianity might just be a vehicle to improve their children's odds for success in this world. But that's not what it says here, that you are an improved creation. It says very clearly, those who are in Christ, you are a new creation. It's something vastly, radically different from what you once were. And so look at this. It says, the old has passed away. So what does it mean that you are a new creation? Well, you have to know then what the old that has passed away was. And that's what we see in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, we see what happens where God, when He made everything in the first place, what did He say? It was good. It was very good. But in Genesis chapter 3, we see humanity fall into rebellion against God. And with that comes brokenness and sin that enters into the world. And so the reality is now that every single person that is born into this world is born broken. Every single person that is born into this world has sin in their hearts. Even the most cute little baby boy, I think about my son Caleb, who is a year and a half old now, but he's a sinner. And I know there's some parents in here, they're like, we know our kids are sinners, right? But that's the reality of what we're born into. But here's the thing. We need to be rid of our sin. Because this sin is what totally perverts the relationship that we ought to have with God the Creator, what He intended us to have with Him, our purpose to know Him, to love Him, to glorify Him, to worship Him with our lives. When sin entered into the world, it broke that relationship that we had with God. And so this is our old self. Everyone is born into this old that needs to pass away through Christ. And the old says, it's all about me. The old says, it's all about what I can do. It's all on me. It's about me being glorified, me receiving the praise and honor. It's about what I want. That's the old self. But we need to see that the old self is no good. We need to see that what the best thing in life will be is when you recognize who Christ is and you place your faith in Him, He makes you into a new creation. You know, maybe some of us are wondering, well, you know, what's wrong with it being all about me? The world teaches us it's all about you. You work hard. You get what you work hard for. And sometimes we adopt that even into the way that we think about our faith and our relationship with God. God, if I just work hard enough for you, then I'll be loved. Then I'll have worth because I'm doing all these quote-unquote good and Christian things. But God wants to let us know it's not about us. That's the old self. The new self, the new that has come, is about who we are in Christ. That's our new identity. Now I'm going to be vulnerable for just a moment here, and I want to share a little bit about myself. Now back in the day, this is, you know, kind of way back, I wasn't really good at the game of basketball. Okay, now I'm not saying I'm amazing now. You know, I wasn't really able to put it on display at our retreat because I got hurt. You know, it just shows I'm really out of shape now. But I used to be pretty bad at the game of basketball, and I remember playing with strangers, with friends, but people who knew me, they were the kind of the meanest ones when we would play basketball. They would yell at me to go this way or that way. You know, whatever I'd be doing, it just seemed like I was doing something wrong. And if I ever got ready to shoot the basketball, my own teammates would yell out, "No!" My own teammates. And if I ever did shoot it, and I made it in, they wouldn't say, like, "Great shot, Josh. That was awesome, man. You've been working on your jumper, I can tell." They didn't say anything like that. You know what they said? "Wow, it went in." Okay. Now, you guys laugh, but you guys laugh, and my heart is still kind of breaking inside, okay? Because this is, I said I was being vulnerable here, right? And the reason I share this is because eventually, I kind of started getting a chip on my shoulder. And it wasn't very fun to play basketball anymore. Because it was all about me on the court. I felt like I needed to prove myself to people that, you know, I see my identity on the court was wrapped up in what others thought of my basketball playing skills. I was just looking for some kind of affirmation, something that would tell me that I'm a good player, that I have some worth or value on the court. And when I didn't get that, not only was I really sad, but I got upset too. And why is that? Again, because even though I was a Christian at the time, I was forgetting that I'm a new creation in Christ and that my identity is not wrapped up any longer in what others think of me or believe of me or say of me, but it's wrapped up completely in the person of who Jesus Christ is. And so it's not about my ability any longer. It's not about what I can prove or what I can do, my success or my failure, but it's about who I am in the Lord. And God says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen? Amen? And maybe it might not be on the basketball court where we experience this in life. Again, for those of us who are here, you know, where do we find our identity, find our worth? Again, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, the new has come. You're not meant to live in that old self anymore. You're not meant to have the anxieties or the fear of failing or feeling like it's the end of the world when you do fail, because your identity is no longer about what you can do or cannot do. When you're in Christ, it's all about what He has done. So where are you finding your identity? Again, maybe for some of us it's worldly success, and we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. Oh, I need to do better so I can be better than this person. Oh, that person's home is much bigger than mine. Oh, that person's car is much nicer than, oh, their family seems to be much better off. Oh, that person seems like a much better father or mother than me. And the list just goes on and on, and the things that we try to position to bring worth or to feel worth and value in our own lives. And God says, remember who I am. Remember the grace that I have shown to you. And yeah, maybe for the parents, some of the parents here, we see our shortcomings as mothers and fathers. We see how we fail in different ways, and we get really down on ourselves. Remember who you are in Christ. You're a new creation. Of course, you strive to be the best father and mother you can be, but remember that God has His hold on you, and the identity that He gives to you through Christ cannot be taken by any of your greatest failures in life. Our worth, identity, find it in the Lord. That's this new creation identity that comes through Christ Jesus. And maybe some of us here are on the flip side. We say, well, hey, Pastor Josh, actually, I do pretty well for myself in this world. I'm the one on the court that's shooting the baskets and making them all in. I'm the one who, when I shoot, people say, yeah, keep shooting. And when it goes in, they're like, yup, that's what happens when he shoots. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I work hard and I get what I deserve because I work hard for it. And I say to that, on the flip side, please, even your successes, if you're defining yourself, finding your identity in your successes, you're just going to keep on having to go, and it's going to be an endless cycle from this success to the next success. But I promise you, you'll become burdened when it's all on your shoulders. You weren't meant to carry the load on your own. The burden of it being all about you is the old self. Actually living for God is the most freeing thing. It's when it's no longer all about you, but it's all about God, you realize that He can do the work in you that's required to do what He's called you to do. So you are a new creation. Remember that. That's your new identity in Christ. Secondly is this. You are a new creation through Christ. So you are a new creation, but we have to remember this point that it is through Christ. And let's look at verses 18 through 21 together. I'm going to jump a little bit from 19 to 21, but here it goes. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Now, to verse 21. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now there's so much that's packed into these verses here. Because what God is telling us is, remember how we talked about sin entering into the world. Now what did Adam and Eve and humanity deserve because of their rebellion against God? What they deserved was condemnation. What they deserved was death. You know, sometimes I thank God that I'm not God, because if it was Adam and Eve and I had given them paradise and one rule to not to follow, and they couldn't follow that one rule, I might have just been poof by humanity. But God, in His grace and in His love, still preserved His creation out of His immense love for them. And not only that, now we see that it is through Christ that He gives us the opportunity to be a new creation in Him. And He's the only one who can do it. There's only one creator in this universe, and that's the God that we're here to worship together today. There's no other that can make something new out of nothing. And what God does in our hearts when he saves us by his blood is exactly that. It's through him that we are reconciled to God. And this is the amazing thing and the amazing grace of God. What we deserved was condemnation, destruction. We are the ones who did wrong against God. Now, if someone ever wrongs us, what are the ways that we usually respond? We demand that they let us know that they understand that they did us wrong. That's what we wait for. We hope for them to realize they're wrong, to come to us and say, you know what? I'm so sorry I was wrong. You know, that's like a melody to many people's ears. It's like, yep, you were wrong. And we want to kind of say that and prove that and have them tell us that. It feels good to acknowledge that, right? But what God does is something completely and radically different from how we would respond. Though we are the ones who wronged him, he is the one who comes to us and actually reconciles those who have wronged him to himself. Just think about how strange that is. And it's strange to us because we're messed up people. But God, who is gracious and loving, he sees humanity in rebellion against him. And he does not say, you know what? I'm going to give them what they deserve. And instead, he gives to us his son, Jesus Christ. And he reconciles us to himself. What an amazing grace that our God gives to us. And look what it says one more time. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's what he's saying here is, if you believe in the Lord as your Savior, God does not count any of your sins against you as he should. And why? Verse 21, for our sake he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ, who never did anything wrong, the only human being, fully God and fully man, that walked the face of this planet and did everything according to God's will and in obedience to him, he who knew no sin actually became sin on our behalf. It means when he went to the cross, a lot of times we think about the physical pain that he endured. But the greatest pain that he endured is that somehow, some way, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity still being intact, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, in some mysterious way, he felt the separation that we deserve to feel from God. He took on the eternity of our sin upon the cross, and he died for you and me. Not just for your past sins, but every sin that you would ever sin or commit. He died once and for all for you, so that if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but have eternal life, and an eternal life as a new creation in him. You know, sometimes I think we hear enough about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us, and it kind of becomes almost like, oh yeah, well yeah, Jesus died for me. You know what I mean? Like, it almost doesn't hit us the way that it ought to. When you really sit down and think, God, the creator of the universe, the God that we rebelled against, that we, because of our sin, have been separated from, he loved his creation enough, you and me, that he sent his own son to die on the cross for us. Can we just continue to be amazed about the gospel and the grace of our Lord? It's an amazing thing. Only our God, our gracious God, it's through Christ that we have this new identity in him. It's through Christ that we are a new creation. So I want to encourage our church, even for those of us who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful that you're here to listen to the Word of God, and this is the Word of God. And God wants you to know that he doesn't want you to live any longer in this old. He wants that to pass away in your life. He wants it to be crucified with Christ upon the cross so that you can have this new life as a new creation in him, to experience the freedom and peace that comes through knowing him. And for those of us here who are already believers, let's not forget that we are a new creation in God. Let's not forget that we're meant to live in a far different way than we're accustomed to living in this world. And even for those of us who have been going to church for a long time, if your identity is, yes, I'm a Christian, but that's just wrapped up in the Christian things that you do. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian because I go to church on Sundays. I'm a Christian because I read the Bible. I'm a Christian because I pray. No, it's not about what you have done that makes you a Christian. It is about what Christ has done on your behalf upon the cross. It's through him alone that you are a new creation. So let's remember that. For those of us who are believers, remember always that you are a new creation. And with that, verse 20, this is what it says. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. What an awesome reality that if we are living out our new identity in Christ, that we are going to make an effect in the people around us, that they will see and realize that there is something different about what we are living for, because we're no longer living for ourselves, because that was the old. We're living for God and his purposes, and there is something awesome about that. You see, the world is thirsty, they're hungry to see people who are living for something greater. And for us as believers of Jesus Christ, we know the truth of what we ought to be living for. So I pray and hope that our church will be filled with ambassadors for Christ, that we're embracing this new identity that we have as new creation in Christ. Don't let the things in this world distort your reality that you are a new creation. Don't allow the circumstances of your life to make you forget your identity as a new creation in Christ. No matter what happens in your life, your circumstances, your successes, your failures, your identity remains intact in Christ because of what he's done for you in his death and resurrection. Let's pray together. Just want to give a moment to respond in prayer. If even just for a minute, where have you been finding your worth these days? What's been what you've been looking to for your worth and for your value? You know, a lot in the younger generation, and you know, we might find it trivial, but even simple things like social media, posting a picture and not getting a certain number of likes, that affects the younger generation. Well, why didn't more people like my picture? And so they look to themselves and say, hey, maybe I'm not really as valued or worth as I thought. Maybe I don't measure up, or people don't really care about me as I thought. There's all these different things that we can wrap up our identity in. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your position. Maybe it's your academic success. Whatever it might be, just bring it before the Lord right now. Just for a moment, just you and the Lord. God of creation listens and hears you. Just ask him to remind you that you are a new creation in him, that your purpose, your call, is to follow him and glorify him. And ask God for strength to repent, to turn away from the old self that creeps back, and that you will live for your new purpose as a new creation in Christ. Let's pray just for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you are our Creator God, and that in us you make us into a new creation. You give us an identity that can't be taken away by this world, because it's given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. So I pray for every believer in this room that you would help us to embrace this identity, regardless of how old or young we are, that every day we would arise and know that the day is yours, God, and that we are to live as ambassadors for your name, that it's not about us, but God, that it's all about who you are, all about what you have done on our behalf in your death and resurrection. So may our identity, may we truly embrace that we are a new creation and live out our lives in that way. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time,